Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Seven steps to answered prayer. Now, this is going to be a little bit different, obviously, than a Sunday morning. Because this is more of a Bible study setting. There'll be a point where if you have a question or something like that, you're welcome to ask it. If something's new to you and you wonder about it, go ahead and raise your hand and I'll do the best to answer it from the Word as I can. I don't know everything. I did hear a guy one time say that he knew the answer to everything. And he said, oftentimes the answer is, I don't know. But it still's an answer. Okay? And you guys know this as well as anybody. If you've walked with the Lord any length of time, you're always learning. Your knowledge should be increasing about Him. I mean, He's God. He's not something or someone that is you can figure everything out about in one day. Brother Hagin used to say to us, the more I learn, the more I find out I didn't know much, you know. And that's the way it should be. You should be getting closer to Him and learning more. And I thank God, you know, sometimes, I'm not trying to be derogatory about other denominations or anything, but they'll focus on one area. But I thank God for all the groups that have taught me through the years, you know. I was raised Foursquare, which is a Pentecostal group. I was in the Assemblies of God for a while. My grandparents were, well, about everything. But before they went to heaven, they were in an Episcopal church, and they had a priest who laid hands on people to be healed and went over to Africa and saw demons cast out of people. And he was a priest. You know, he did the whole robe and backwards collar and all that stuff. I mean, I went to a few services there, and it was way different than what we do. Okay, way different. I shared at my grandfather's funeral in that church, and the organ player was an old Baptist guy, and he was so excited afterwards. He's like, "You just got going good. What'd you stop for?" You know. So you'll find people love God everywhere, you know, but the more you learn, the more you see in the Word, and if the Word is your foundation, you're going to find things in there and go, "Huh, I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know that was there. You know, I didn't know that went on. I didn't know that was a promise. I didn't know God did that today," or, you know, those things. You'll find out about things about Him that you just didn't realize that that you didn't know. And so, in prayer and in this study, the author of this book is Kenneth E. Hagin. And Heidi and I went to his school. It's Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. He's in heaven now. He passed away in 2003. He was the founder of that school now, and it's who I'm ordained through. So I am a member of the RMAI, which is the Rhema Ministerial Association International. But anyway, they now have schools all over the world. I mean, literally all over the world. So they're graduating students all over the world. And Brother Hagin had a strong emphasis. How many read through the first part of it? He had a strong emphasis on healing, on divine healing from the Lord. Yeah. And the reason why is because he was healed at the age of 16 from an incurable blood disease and a deformed heart. And he was not prayed for by anybody. He just saw in the Word where the promises of God were for healing. And so and he acted on it. I mean, he had Mayo Clinic looked at him and said, "There's no hope for you. You're going to die." And he got a hold of God and said, "There's hope." And he lived to be 86, 87, somewhere in there. That's pretty good if you're supposed to die at 16, you know. And we've seen this. I mean, that's probably about the first time I ever really heard about healing, even though I was raised in Foursquare. And Foursquare believes in divine healing. I just didn't hear about it much, talked about in church. But Heidi's grandpa was supposed to die when he was 15 or 16, and he lived to be, 85, 86? So we thank God for medical science, but they don't know everything. We thank God for God because He knows everything. You know what I mean? I know that sounds a little funny, but He knows everything about everything, and He puts you together so He can fix you. The Scripture says in Psalms that He knit you in your mother's womb. God knits. Yeah, I told you there's stuff in there you didn't know about God. Okay.
Didn't drop a stitch either.
Yeah, He didn't drop a stitch. He knows what He's doing. All right. So let's get into this first part here. Seven steps to answer prayer. And I'm just going to read through some of this. This is a study guide. So this can read like a book, but you should be looking at it, reading over it, looking at it again, and studying through it. So a lot of this, I don't need to make a whole lot of notes on it, even though sometimes I do. But I'll read through this as we go to some parts anyway. So he says this initially. Learning how to pray effectively is one of the most important things a believer can ever do in his Christian walk. Really, a believer cannot be a success in fulfilling God's purpose in his life if he does not know how to pray according to biblical principles. A believer's prayer life should be based and built upon the Word of God. And this is a theme that you're going to see all the way through this. And what you're going to find out is sometimes, and the Word does this, it enlightens you to your life. So as you're hearing this, the Scripture says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." But I'll add this, because it says this in James, it's only the truth you do that will make you free. You can know truth. How many people have heard about Jesus but never acted on Him as their Savior and Lord? So that truth is not working in them, but yet they know that Jesus was alive. I remember one time I was in a situation where I was talking to a gentleman, and he was doing some sales and stuff, and I just felt impressed. He was a carpet salesman is what he was. And we were having him do a bid and stuff for some area of carpet that we were getting done at a previous church that I worked at. And I just felt impressed to ask him if he had ever received Jesus or heard about Jesus. And so I talked to him about it a little bit, and he was a very cordial man. He didn't get offended or pushed back by the fact, you know, sometimes people get upset if you do that. He wasn't one of those guys at all. But he approached Jesus from a historical standpoint. He didn't approach Jesus from the standpoint of He's the Son of God. He approached Him of, yeah, He's in history books. People talk about Him. There was a lot of stories about Him. I understand that it's accurate historically, but He's not my Savior. Well, he knows a truth about Jesus, but he doesn't know Jesus as his Savior. And so that truth is doing him no good. So on Wednesday nights, one of the things that we do is... these are principles that will get ingrained in you. And when you do the things that you see in the Word of God, the Bible says you will be blessed in what you do. Okay? You can't just be blessed in what you mentally agree with. You have to take the knowledge that's been given to you, and then as situations arise in your life, apply that biblical truth to that situation. And as you do that, what happens is it's an act of faith. You know, sometimes we really try and figure out what faith is. Faith is obedience to the Word of God, very simply. So when the situation arises before you and you have a scripture come to your mind that answers that problem and you act on that scripture, you are walking by faith. That's what walking by faith is. It's simple. It's not difficult. You know, sometimes we break down the whole meaning of the word faith and never do it. You know, you'd be better off just doing what you heard than knowing the Greek, the Hebrew, you know, all that stuff. And just doing what God told you to do. And as you do that, what happens is it's like, and I talked about this before, I think a couple Sundays ago, but what happens is you open the door to God in your life when you do that. God is waiting for us to respond to Him so that He can do what He promised in our lives. Does that make sense? He's waiting for us to respond to Him, but it takes obedience on our part. We can't just, you know, sit back and look at the promises of God and never act on them, never do what He says to do about them. Otherwise, we won't see them. And a lot of times people's frustration is very simply just not doing. You know? I mean, that's just what it boils down to. And this is the other thing about Wednesday nights. It's discipleship. So you get to hear the things that hurt your feelings, but mature people, have you found this? Mature people hear things that they don't necessarily want to hear and then make adjustments. And those are the strong people. If you want to be strong, you have to be able to go, okay, Lord, that one hurt a little bit, but you're right and I'm wrong. And disciples submit. How many times do you think the disciples wanted to walk away from Jesus? You know, we pretend in our minds sometimes, or even maybe don't even think about it, but those disciples had every feeling we do. Those guys had to deal with every fear that we do. And they had free wills. Jesus did not make them follow him. They chose to. And guess what? You and I can choose to. We can choose to be radical followers. Or we can choose to be converts. Disciples know the Lord better, which is really the greatest blessing. It's just knowing him. But then all the blessings come with it. Because when you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he adds everything else to you. He'll take care of you. So your prayer life needs to be founded on the Word of God. I'm going to skip down a little bit here to the second paragraph, but it says this: as you study these principles of prayer, determine to get them into your heart so you can practice them in your own private prayer life. So remember, you're going to hear and you're going to do. He says this: if a person will faithfully practice the following seven steps in prayer, he can be sure of an answer every time. Yes. Now, that may challenge your doctrine right there. Because how many people feel like, I didn't get an answer to that? Okay, but we're going to look at scriptures that say he gives an answer every time. So we have to decide, is God right? Or am I right? Sometimes, I know I've done this in my life, I just have to chalk it up to, I was dumb. Or ignorant. I just didn't know. But I never chalk it up to, God, you didn't do what you said you would do. We got to guard ourselves against that. Because the enemy loves that. Because if he can get your helper to appear as your enemy, you're in trouble. But if he can't, and you keep God in front of you as your Savior, your helper, you'll be safe. And God will get you through all the enemy's traps and tricks and then all our mistakes. You know what I mean? Sometimes we don't even need the devil, you know. We do a pretty good job on our own. Okay, so step one is what? Be specific and stand on God's promises. Step one in these seven steps is be specific and stand on God's promises. Step number one to receiving answered prayer is decide what you want from God and find the scriptures that definitely promise you these things. Now I'm going to say this another way. Okay? Look to the scriptures and see what's promised to you. And decide you want that. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not saying he said it wrong. I just had that thought come to me. Sometimes people go, well, I don't know what I want. Okay. Go to the scriptures and look at what God said is yours. And then start adjusting your wants and desires to his.
Yeah.
Make sense? Because when you do that, I mean, how are you going to miss it? God, I'm just praying what you said. I mean, that's safe. That's really safe prayer. And we'll get there, that's where your faith source is in those promises. Because what does Romans 10:17 say? Faith comes by and hearing what? The Word of God. The Word of God. You have to hear the Word of God. If it isn't in the Word of God, you can't believe for it. Or you're wasting your time asking God for it. Okay? Another way I like to say this is, you ask in the name of Jesus, what's in the name of Jesus? In other words, what did Jesus purchase for you? I mean, we could go on forever. I mean, He purchased a lot of things for you. Okay, so you want to find those things there. So many times we are indefinite in our prayer. Brother Hagin says this, I would rather folks pray for 2 or 3 minutes and know what they're praying about than to pray for 2 or 3 hours and not know what they're praying about. You know, sometimes people say, I'm praying. What are you praying for? I don't know. I'm just praying. Now, there is a fellowship side with God, okay, where you're just fellowshipping with Him. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with sitting. And, you know, I've prayed for 3 hours before, 2 hours before. But it was a prayer of seeking God, of fellowshipping with Him. I wasn't praying over the meal, you know. People would starve to death, you know. Okay? I wasn't praying over the food. They're like, okay, he prayed around the world. Let's, you know. So, in this particular passage where he's talking about this he's talking about being specific in what you want. And you find you're able to be specific the more word you know. The more of the scripture you know, the more specific you can be. Does that make sense? So you'll become more effective the more words you know. That's why we have the Bible reading program. I mean, even if you didn't follow that, you should be reading every day. Just find time. I just don't have time to read my Bible. You need to repent and change. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that sounds funny, but I'm serious. You need to repent and change. If you don't have time to read God's Word to you, there's something wrong. It should be in your heart and it should be on your lips, in your mouth. Now, I'm not saying you have to quote the King James to everybody you talk to. Okay? You don't have to quote the Bible to everybody. But what I'm saying is, when situations arise, you have a word for that situation out of the word that was given to you, the Bible. And you're responding to your situations in your day out of that word. Today I had a pretty trying day. I had pressure phone calls. You know what pressure phone calls are? The contractor calls and you're under pressure. When are you going to get this done? I honestly don't know. I need more employees. You know what I mean? That kind of pressure. So after I hang up the phone and then the next contractor calls, because I don't know if they're like standing next to each other and they go, it's your turn. Because it feels like that sometimes. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. So anyway, after they, then I get a moment to think and to breathe a little bit and think about what I need to do with the employees so that they know where they're going. How many have had pressure come on you and you don't, it's like your mind won't settle in one spot to make a decision? You ever felt that before? I grabbed my Gideon Bible that's sitting right there in the cup holder, and it's got cards all the way through it. They're business cards. They're supposed to be handed out, but I use them as scripture markers because we're not short on business by any means. But anyway, and I open up to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what the thought that comes to me right away? How are you going to do this? And then I say it again. And I just stay after it until clarity comes. See, what you guys don't realize is that is the epitome of spiritual warfare. And sometimes people think, well, I'll see a devil manifest. No, you won't. You'll just have thoughts that seem to cloud your mind. And in order to break that cloud and get the sunlight to come through, you got to pick up the light, the lamp, the word, the sword of the Spirit. And divide that thing and shut the enemy up. And you're not speaking the scripture to God. You're speaking it to the devil, to demons. Because that's what clears the air, the darkness. He's the prince of the power of the air. And that will help clear your mind. Some people think, well, I just need less responsibilities. Probably not. You just need to learn how to function maturely in the responsibilities that you have. Make sense? I don't know if you've noticed this, but the people that do the most are usually add something else to what they do. And people think, how do you do that? You know, some people get overwhelmed and thought, and they just think, I need a nap. I need a nap. I just got a nap. Have you ever noticed that naps do not make things go away? They don't. They just don't. You have to fight spiritually. And in order to do that, you got to know the Word. And then, as you know the Word, then you can respond to it. You can respond to the situation. You need to know the promises of God, okay? So let's skip down. Talk about pray according to the Word of God. Too few Christians realize the importance of the Word of God in prayer. We know that faith begins where the will of God is known. That's a great quote. And we know that God's Word is His will. God's Word is God's will. Okay? God's Word is God's will. So find scriptures that definitely promise the things you are asking for. If the scriptures don't promise you the things you are desiring, you don't have any business praying for those things. And you shouldn't want anything that the Word of God says you shouldn't have. Many believers are trying to pray beyond their faith, but it's the Word that gives you faith. Can I ask you a question? How would you pray beyond your faith? People do it. How? They're praying outside the Word of God. You can pray beyond your faith from the standpoint of you're trying to believe for something that you have not built the promises in you about. You know, sometimes people will do this. They'll treat Christianity kind of like fast food. But Jesus didn't say the Word of God is like a Happy Meal. You start at the drive-thru, and then you have it right over here. He said the Word of God is like seed. Can you cheat the growth process of seed? No, you can't. And that is the process that needs to take place. You need to put it in you and water it, and put it in you and water it, and water it, and water it. You see what I'm saying? And then it will start produce in your life. That's how it works. And that's how the promises work. And that's how you have an effective prayer life when you're requesting things of the Lord. So you could be beyond your faith in the sense that you just haven't looked at it enough in the Word and you haven't got it in your heart. Or you could be beyond your faith in that you're asking for something that's not in the Word of God. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. And he says this a couple of times, but it's worth repeating. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And the will of God is the Word of God. Okay? All right. So, once you find scriptures that promise you what you desire from God, get those scriptures firmly fixed in your heart, not just in your mind. To do that, you'll have to meditate on the Word of God. Let's go to Joshua 1:8. Some of these scriptures may be new to you. Some of you may have heard them 100 times. Joshua 1:8. The Lord told this to Joshua as he was beginning to take over the position of leadership with the Israelites from Moses. Moses had moved on to heaven. Moses was not able to go into the promised land because he hit the rock instead of spoke to it. So he didn't get to go in. He got mad. And Joshua's taking over. And so this is the advice that God, this is the wisdom that God gives to Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night." Now, I've read that first part before and thought, Lord, what do you mean, not depart from your mouth? That means you should be speaking the Word of God. The Word of God is your primary vocabulary. Now, that doesn't mean you have to say, you know, like, for instance, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. If you're dealing with somebody who doesn't know the Lord or doesn't know Philippians to him is just, you know, some other foreign place that he's never heard of, you don't need to quote Philippians 4:19 to him if they ask you, you know, how are you going to make it through this? You could just look at him and say, you know, God will take care of me. That's a modern translation of Philippians 4:19. He'll supply all my need according to His riches and glory. He'll take care of me. I trust God, He'll take care of me. So you're putting that word in your mouth, and look at this, you'll meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Boy, that covers quite a bit, doesn't it? For then you will make your way what? Prosperous, and you will have what? Good success. For then God will make your way hard, and He'll try and see how much faith you have by beating you over the head. No? People say, well, why when I obey the Word of God or I've moved toward God, do I get resistance then? Look, that's not God.
No.
That's Satan coming against you. The Bible says in John 10:10, Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to what? Give you life and life more abundantly. God's not looking to beat you. He's not even mad at you. He could be disappointed, but He's not sitting up there going, I can't wait for Mike to mess up again. Look at this bat I got the other day. I've been waiting to test out my lightning bolts. You know, again, I've said this before, because I have invited people to church, and they're like, no, the roof had fallen. I'm like, if God wanted you dead, you'd be dead. He is not hurting for ways to figure out how to kill people or the ability. One angel took out how many hundreds of thousands of soldiers in the Old Testament? If He wanted to, He could, you know, flick you with His finger and it'd be over. But He's not looking to hurt you. He's looking to heal you. He's looking to prosper you. He's looking to what? Give you good success. This covers all your life. This does not say you will not have trials. It's just telling you that the trials aren't coming from the Lord. They're either birthed by us or the enemy is fighting against us. That's where they come from. If you find out it's your fault, repent. God will pick you up and walk you on. If you find out it's the enemy, pick the sword of the Spirit up and start stabbing him.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And don't quit until He's gone. Jesus didn't quit until He was gone. Right? Okay. So meditate in this word day and night. Meditate. I heard a minister say this one time. Meditation is the same, you know... There was a minister one time that was ministering to a woman who was in and out of an insane asylum. And he said to her, he gave her this scripture. And he said, you need to think about the Word of God all the time. And she looked at him and said, that's impossible. And he looked at her and he said, you're thinking about something, aren't you? See, the enemy has tricked people into thinking they can't control their mind. It's your mind. God gave it to you. You put what you want in it and kick out what you don't want.
Yeah.
You say, how do I do that? Speak.
Yeah.
Speak. Speak. And don't go around going, I just can't control my mind. I just don't know what's going on with my mind. I just can't control my mind. It's a wonder you can't control your mind. And yet in school, your teacher would look at you and say, think, think. And you go, I'm going to think, you know. I tell my kids, they tell me, oh, I just can't figure this out. Oh, you do not want to tell me, if you're my kid, that you can't figure it out or that you can't do it. Don't tell me that. And people say, well, you're just being hard on them. I'm teaching them faith. I want them to believe they can get it. It starts with believing. How many of you notice that if you believe you can do something, you'll find a way to do it? It's built into you as a human. But then add God in there. You know, get the Holy Ghost strength in there too. Does that make sense? I mean, how many of you have watched... there's these videos all over the place, but athletes of all different kinds, or even war veterans who lost limbs, and they're running in marathons, and they have prosthetic legs, and people with all their limbs go, "I just can't do it." And you just go, "No, you just don't want to. You're lying to yourself. The enemy has convinced you that you can't, when God and people are proving every day you can. It's just a matter of, am I going to move this direction? Am I going to put my faith toward this? Am I going to figure it out? You can meditate on the Word of God. You can choose to. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just saying you can do it. It's possible. I'm not saying I do it perfectly. I'm saying it can be done. With God, all things are possible. All things. Okay, so he talks about meditating on the Word of God. I'm trying to get moving and quit commenting. I started looking at this study course. I'm like, this is the only Bible study we're going to do the whole entire year. Everybody's going to know prayer really well. All right, so anyway. So meditate on the Word of God. He goes into a story here about healing, and I'm not going to go into it. But if you want to look at that later, look at those scriptures. Let's go to Psalms 119:11 though, because this talks about this meditation principle. Everybody doing all right? Okay. I thank God for the Word of God. It changed my life. It is changing my life. When I read the Word, my mind is transformed. You know why I say that, right? Because the Lord said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when I read my Bible, I'm not just gathering information. There's a supernatural change that's going on in my mind. I believe it. It's working for me. The Word of God is working for me. You say, why do you say that? You need to say that about you. If the enemy can get you to agree with him, then he's going to take you down a path that is not good success. But if you get in the promises and you start agreeing with God and just saying what he said, you'll just start dispelling darkness left and right. And you're going to get every opportunity in the world to practice this right after you get out of this Bible study. Why? Birds of the air come to steal the seed. And I ain't talking about physical birds. Jesus was teaching spiritual truths by using natural examples. Brother Hagin used to say, you can't prevent a bird from flying over your head, but you can prevent it from building a nest in your hair. Right? It's your mind. All right. So, Psalms 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Isn't that good? You can hide the Word of God in your heart. Put it in there. Treasure it. Build a treasure of the Word of God. Turn off, stop watching your favorite TV show. Delete all the recordings of it and spend that time reading the Word. Well, then I'll miss my show. Yeah, but you'll gain eternal life here on earth. Your life will change. You won't have to, it'll get to the point where you won't have to pray about the situation because you'll know the answer. Amen? Well, I just need it to unwind. There's only one thing that will unwind you. That's God. The reason why you're wound is because you got too much of the world in your mind. Unwind it. Get with God. Amen? Okay. Use the sword of the Spirit against the devil. Matthew 4, verse 7 through 11. This is the example of Jesus doing this. We talked about this. I'm just going to read this and then I'm going to go on to number 2. It says this. Verse number 7. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 7. I could start in verse number 1, but I'm not going to. The devil, at this point, Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness. In verse 7, he says, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Because the enemy had told him, jump off the roof, the angels will come and rescue you. So the devil will quote scripture to you, he just won't use it correctly. Okay? He can quote it, though. That's why it's good to know the Word of God, so you know what he's trying to do. Verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, or get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship who? The Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil what?
Left.
He left him. And what came to Jesus? Angels. And they ministered to him. Angels respond to the Word of God when it's spoken. How did Jesus defeat the enemy? By speaking, it is written. Speak, it is written. It is written. Well, how are you going to know what's written? You got to look at what's written. Okay? Amen. Okay? Fight the good fight of faith. So use the sword of the Spirit against the devil. Fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Don't say you're not a fighter. You don't need to fight with people. But the Bible says your fight's not with flesh and blood, but it is against the enemy. But you need to fight. Well, I've always just been, you know, kind of a late, I'm a non-confrontational. You better get confrontational with the devil.
Amen.
I'm not saying you have to scream at him. Okay? A lot of times that's emotionalism. But you need to fight him, and how you do that is by speaking the Word of God. So we just saw that in Matthew 4. These are basic spiritual warfare principles, okay? You don't even need to get into camouflage fatigue gear. You don't need to load your gun. You don't need to, you know, none of that. You say, why do you say that? Because people have done it for years. All you need to do is just speak the Word. Okay? All right? If there weren't any hindrances to faith, there wouldn't be a fight. When it comes to natural things, people will fight tooth and toenail for what belongs to them. But when it comes to spiritual things, many times they just roll over and play dead. Have you ever noticed that? When it comes to spiritual things, you need to learn how to fight. And go at it with the Word of God. Okay? Go at it with the Word of God. Because that's what will make a difference in your life. That's how situations will change. That's how your prayers will be effective. All right. Step number 2. Oh, we are not going to get through step number 4. Okay. Step number 2. You must ask God for what you want. Let's go to John 16, verse number 23. And this is a great verse. And we'll finish up with this point here, but this is a great verse number 23. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, okay? He says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will what? Verse 24. He says, hitherto, or so far, have you asked nothing in my name? And then he says what? Ask, and you shall... that your joy may be full. Now, you have to ask in the name of Jesus. So, you're asking according to the Word of God. Okay? But you're asking who? The Father in the name of Jesus. Make sense? So, this is how you ask for something. You ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Why? What does God want to be full in your life? Your joy. People go, God wants me to have joy? Yeah, a lot. Full joy. That's a revelation to some people. Some people think God's just a disciplinarian. He's just up there going, stop it. Stop it. Stop doing that. Stop it. I don't really think Jesus was that way. I mean, there's a time to correct. But what I'm saying is God wants your joy to be full. Now that's a thought. You ought to think about that all day tomorrow. God wants my joy to be full. God's into my joy being full. God's so into you having joy that He gave you His joy. According to Galatians. You don't just have joy like, you know, it's not happy. You have the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your... So how strong is you?
Every day more. Building up.
Make sense? It's your strength. He wants you to be so full of joy. So when you find it. Ask the Father. Don't ask Jesus. Ask the Father in Jesus' name. Why say in Jesus' name? Well, if you think about it like this, that is part of it, but it's more than that. It's legal. It's a legality. What is Jesus saying? I got it all, so you get it all through me. Because you didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. So when the Father looks down, He goes, yeah, they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means it's open. Heaven's open to you. I was listening to a song the other day. It was playing on the YouTube loop. And the song was about open the doors of heaven, or open the windows of heaven, or open the gates of heaven, or something like that. And I just had the thought come to me. They're open. We don't got to ask for them to be open. They're open. Jesus opened them. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. He didn't say, run up to the gate and knock really loud. He said, come boldly to the throne. You can walk all the way up to the throne of God, and the angels look at you and go, what is he doing? You go, in the name of Jesus. You hold up your Jesus passport.
Yes.
The gate's just open. You go, automatic. You have the remote. You understand what I'm saying? Now, God's not a slot machine. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that God has given you access to Him so you guys can fellowship. So you don't have to fellowship through the minister. You can go to God directly. You're clean. Yeah. Matthew 7, 7 and 8 says this. Ask and it shall be, and you might get it. If God's in a good mood that day, if you do everything just right, it says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that what? Ask it, receive it. How many receive?
Everyone
that ask it, receive it. Now, go back to the previous point. If you're going to see that verse in your life, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Because who's going to want to hinder that verse? Satan. Right? He's going to try and stop that from happening in your life. But he can't do it if you fight the good fight of faith. He can't. He's not strong enough. He's already been totally stripped of all power. The Bible literally says he's been disarmed. That means, you know, if a man is armed, he's got him. But if he's disarmed, imagine me with no arms. That's Satan. He's been disarmed. Well, why does he look so big to me? Because your perspective is not one that's birthed out of the Word. It's birthed out of what religion told you, or Hollywood told you, or what you've experienced. And let me help you with something. Your experience does not inform your doctrine. Your experience does not form your doctrine. Your experience does not form your doctrine. Your experience is not proper ground for faith of any kind unless it lines up with the Word of God. People will build entire doctrines over experiences. Theologians. I mean, they have PhDs. They are smart, 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 but yet ignore clear teaching that Jesus teaches and will follow their experience. Why? Because they feel it more, because it's more real to them, because it happened to them personally. That's not submission to God. Submission to God says, whether I feel like this is true or not, God said it, and I believe it. And that settles it. Make sense? Well, that's basic. Yeah, but people don't do basic all the time. I mean, I could say, I haven't done this. But this gives us an opportunity to go, oh yeah, the path is there. Let's do it. If you're married, practice the verse together. Next time something comes up, don't just discuss back and forth about what you don't know you're going to do. Have you ever done that with your spouse? What should we do about this? I don't know. What do you think? Well, I don't know. Well, we've established that we don't know. We've established that we don't know what we're going to do. How should we fix this? I don't know. What do you think? You realize that what I think is going to be a short race compared to what God's answer is. My opinion, yeah, like I heard a guy say, opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one, but what are they good for? They collect lint. A disgusting illustration. Okay? Go to the Word of God and say, what does the Word of God say? That's what we're going to believe. And then 2 seconds later, I'll just say, 2 minutes later, you're going to be tempted to go, I wonder what we're going to do about that. And you need to stop and go, nope, God's taking care of it. He's got it. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? I have wisdom from Him. Amen? Everybody doing all right? We made it through 2 points.
Yeah.
And only barely through the first part of the second one.
Did we make it up to 2 years? Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be a 2-year Bible study. Well, we'll come back and pick up there, and we'll set a goal of getting through all the 7 steps by the end of next Wednesday. Whether it happens or not, Jesus will know. All right, bless you guys. Have a good night.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.